Hello and welcome to the OM Podcast, Outwear Mobile's podcast, all about the mobile industry. My name is Michael Dulwich and I usually start these episodes off when I'm hosting to say that we have a very special episode, and we're trying to avoid doing that today and rather say that we have an extra special episode just to mix things up a little bit. But before I get into it, I have to introduce some of our guests. So we have longtime podcaster Lucia Vong returning. Hi, Lucia.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
Hello. So today we're talking about citizenship in the mobile age. What does that mean? I have no idea, but we have some guests that can hopefully help us through it. So to start off with, I'd like to welcome Dan Grutch, co-founder of an organization called Code for Australia. Dan, hi.
Thank you, Michael.
So this series, the Citizenship in the Mobile Age series, is something that we're running in conjunction with Code for Australia, and we're very happy to be doing so. Do you want to give us a quick spiel about Code for Australia, who you are and
Code for Australia? Absolutely. So we're a non-profit organization that is the bridge between citizens, skills and government. So we run a range of programs. The primary one is called the Fellowship, which is basically a year of service. So we put together teams of developers, designers and product managers and find a project, a role for them within government to make an impact over a period of 12 months building open source tech.
Fantastic. That's great. And quietly waiting for his time in the limelight, we have our second guest for today. He is the Director of Digital Engagement for the Victorian Government, Department of Premier and Cabinet, Jithma Binaragama. Did I get it right? Binaragama?
Yep.
I got it right. So that title, it's a long one. Do you pull that out at over parties and things?
Oh, it's pretty impressive, yes. Look, I think just having, and that title is not unique within Victorian government. There's a bunch of people now who are working in the same space and have titles around engagement and digital. So I think it's a pretty clear indication where the government's going and what it thinks about this medium and what it can do for the way that it does its work.
Fantastic. So do you want to just give us a quick intro into what it is that Director of Engagement for that department does and your mission and what you've set up to try and achieve over the next couple of years?
So I like to talk about the purpose. So the purpose of our group is to try and make it easier for citizens and business to interact with government via digital platforms. And so what that looks like is quite a broad-reaching program of work. So some stuff around sort of transformation of our digital channels. So digital meaning both sort of big screen internet, mobile, and whatever other screens that people want to interact with us on. We're looking a lot around engagement and interactivity tools, again, digital-based, but also crossover into physical and also looking around things like social and really about audience and looking at where audience is and how we can tap into that to help deliver services better.
Yeah, great. So a question I guess I can open up to the entire panel. We've all been working in this industry or similar industries for a couple of years now. We've seen things change and emerge. How has mobile specifically, or we can talk more broadly with digital, affected how government is delivering services and thinking about the public? Jithma, do you want to maybe kick the conversation off?
Yeah, sure. So I think trying to say government is different to the rest of the corporate sector or rest of organizations is the first thing we should tackle. We're not.
Yeah.
The same thing is happening on regardless of whether you're providing public services or commercial services or however you want to cut it up. So if you talk about over the last five or so years in terms of the delivery of services specifically by mobile, I think you're seeing a lot of similar trends. So you had first very early sort of this idea of doing a separate mobile interface, a separate mobile touch point that was a cut down offering of what you could get from big screen internet. And at the same time, you saw this proliferation of mobile applications, which created this really difficult to manage world of all these different touch points, all slightly different, all on different technologies and people going crazy and spending way too much money trying to manage it.
Yeah.
So our world now, which is we are really looking at I guess, our processes of how we build things and what we focus on. So we're really focused around delivery of really good quality web experiences with a focus on responsive. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that we, if you build from, I guess, mobile first principles, you tend to sort of get rid of a lot of the bloat and a lot of the sort of random stuff that tends to fill up a screen because there is real estate.
Yep, yep.
And
you get down to the crux of what you're trying to achieve on that screen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also on the other side of it is sort of when you look at a lot of our interactions and services, they're generally found via search and they are, and especially in state government, those interactions don't happen super regularly. Mm. There's lots of annual things and some even more less regular than that. And so where you start thinking about how your audience is coming to your service and how they're finding it, mobile applications aren't necessarily the right tool for us yet for some of those things. And so because of that reliance on search. And so again, another reason why we sort of pivoted away from doing a lot of mobile applications and really focusing on really quality web-based experiences discoverable by search.
By search. So it's really this, I guess this paradigm of there being so much that people actually need a way to find it rather than being able to know that it's this in that this app or that app. We need some sort of way to be able to search for things via like a search engine to be able to get to the endpoint.
Well, yeah, it's like the same thing you talk about in the, with any type of, I guess, digital product or service, right? Mm. It's first thing is get someone to discover it,
yep.
Get them to use it, and then get them engaged.
Yep.
And so where we are right now is discovery, mm-hmm. And discovery generally in this world, in my belief anyway, is that happens more easily through a browser than an application.
Yep.
And so that's our focus. Down the track, it may end up becoming more about an application-based world, and I can definitely see reasons for that. Mm. And when you are starting to look at, I guess, deeper ongoing interactions with a particular customer group, there's definitely reason for apps.
Dan, I should mention that you also are a bit of an app entrepreneur on the side.
Yes.
So
yes.
You've done a lot of work in apps. Is sort of what Jithma is saying is something that you've seen as well, or do you see a space in government today, in the future, for apps to be rolled out or mobile focus?
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt, like when we look at stats around access, that mobile's the channel, but it might be a mobile browser versus a mobile app. But it is obviously part of that bigger trend towards wanting my content anywhere, anytime, on any device. Mm. And so, we know that's where people are. That's how we have to reach them.
Yep.
And as Jithma said, I think that's very true about search being the primary problem. There's obviously Code4Oz. We've built internally some apps as open source projects, some in partnership with government departments, and getting people to discover it is often the primary challenge.
Yeah. As you travel around the country and are speaking to different departments at different levels, is this a trend you're seeing throughout that? The focus for some of these constraints is on a web focus.
Yeah, although I must say I think where the power of mobile apps comes in is if you have something that's highly interactive. So, a web view is great for disseminating information, but part of the promise of moving to mobile is that, and part of generally the government's aim is to create more participation and engagement. So submitting web forms, it's not great, but if you can have a mobile app that actually makes that process of giving some data back to the system seamless and easy.
Yeah. So since Code4Oz is how old now?
Coming up to 3 years.
So 3 years. So almost within that five-year bracket that we spoke about, have you seen any more broader trends as well apart from the ones Jithma mentioned?
So I think the big part, so one of the things I wanted to touch on today is around open data.
Yep.
So obviously government is investing a lot in producing solutions, but they're also working really hard to release data sets and actually enable developers and organizations to identify opportunities to use that data, whether it's for commercial gain or for actually contributing back to the production of government services.
Yep.
So there's a bigger picture of the platforms actually out there.
Yeah. One of the questions that I've been fortunate enough to have a few of these conversations recently with different departments, and one of the questions I always ask is, we're investing in this open platform approach, which in my mind, is definitely the way to go. And the follow-up question is, do we then need to have our own user-focused end-to-the-line approach to get to that user, or do we then leave it to the likes of, we just saw recently that very topical, that their transportation data has been released to Google. Do we leave it to the likes of third parties to then finish that final mile, or is there still a role in the government to have their own official channel as well?
I think there's a couple of really interesting points that you guys have raised. I mean, Jisma, when you mentioned that government is not different to the commercial sector, and that the influences are essentially, customer expectations are influenced by what is available. So mm-hmm. whether it's a banking app that's influenced what they expect from government is no different. So I think the really interesting point here is that when we look at what apps can do, while I think it's a really great point that you said government at the moment is at the discovery phase, mm-hmm. and that is primarily in web, and that's great. And Dan, you mentioned that in apps it's about interactivity. I think where the real opportunity is the things we haven't thought about, and the ideas that we haven't actually come up with, whether we're in agency side like we are at Outwear, whether you're at a community side like Code for Oz, or government agency side. And I think the biggest opportunity is actually when you release open data sets and people come together, and then new things happen and new, more valuable pieces of digital engagements occur. And, last night we had a great event. These three organizations, we came together and we ran Budget Hack, which was for people to come up with ideas on how we could make the budgeting information more available and accessible. And I think the great thing about these events is it's quite organic. So, mm-hmm. To your point, Michael, I think that while I think everyone has a role to play, but it's going to be those really creative, innovative, collaborative moments that's going to result in something great and different.
So, look, I agree with you completely, and I'm going to contradict myself from what I said earlier about a focus on browser versus apps, but it's exactly to your point. A lot of what we're trying to do right now is trying to make it easier for people to find services and find the services that they need to complete a particular task. And so that world is very much about search and everything else. The other side of what's going on and sort of tying into the stuff that was mentioned around open data is this idea of creating interactive solutions. And a good example of that is one that Public Transport Victoria ran last year. Mm. So prior to the Google stuff, this was done around about the middle of last year, where sure. they released the original API, mm. and at the same time they ran a sort of like a an accelerator/incubator program around the API.
Yeah,
the idea being that what we could end up with is handing the API over to the community and seeing what they would do with it. And for me, the beauty of that whole event, or it was an event, it was over, I think it was over 6 or 8 weeks. Mm. But the beauty of it was that what came out of that was a whole lot more than what PTV could have been able to do on their own with their own resources. Mm. So where PTV run an application that allows you to look up timetables and everything else, what we saw was a bunch of people from the community build, I think there was about 10 apps that came out of it. So one that was very much focused on people with accessibility issues. There was another one about sort of real point-to-point type of travel information. There was one about just, can I get a seat on the tram or not? Which were all really cool.
No.
Well, if you use the app, then you would. My point is that you end up with so many different interesting uses of that data by putting it out into the open.
One of the things I wanted to touch on out of your point, Lucia, is around like diversity of opinions. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of get meta here, but before I got into technology, I was in the financial markets for a couple of years as a bond trader. And evil. When you think about what, I mean, just, at a meta level, why markets work as a system is because the system's open to anybody to be able to contribute their opinion, to see the information that's out there and accessible and express their belief through placing a trade. Mm. So I think that it is great now that governments are moving towards a model that, encourages more participation, whether it's, you know, events like Budget Hack. I think we had 60 or 70 people, not all developers, you know, some just enthused citizens, some designers, but the output you get from all of those diverse opinions is much better than somebody you're trying to be all-seeing and all-knowing.
Yeah. I think one of the things you mentioned, Jithma, was that that government and private are no different in their sort of initiatives in the mobile space. But you also mentioned that quite wisely that mobile app specific is very involved and can be much more involved than web in terms of resources and time and requirements. The private side of industry that we're fortunate enough to work with, they can justify this because at the end of the day, their goals are still, you know, return of investment driven. You know, they can go down this path of saying, we're going to deliver this to our consumers with their hope that it comes back in another way. For government, it's a very different proposition. Or is it? You're looking at me kind of funny.
Well, I wouldn't say it's that different, right? So if you look at the reasons and you look at, say, banks using mobile applications to provide services to their customers, that would have simplified their back-end systems to some degree, would have freed up resources to do other things. Hey, that works
Same
regardless,
goal.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think those sorts of themes are still there regardless if you're talking about corporate or government.
Mm. So, but how do you then, and back to your PTV example, PTV, for instance, have their own app and they have a set of functionality even in the web browser. How do you think a government department can try and extrapolate what is within their realm of delivering for the public versus what are all these other cool things that could potentially be done, and how do we determine the extent to which we go to provide that service via this digital channel? Or is there no black and white answer?
I think that's a really hard one. But yeah.
I think there's a really interesting point, even to what you said earlier, Dan, is I think, you know, we're talking about citizenship in the mobile age, and whether government or specific commercial organizations are responsible for delivering specific services. I think this is where citizens can actually take a bigger part. Like,
exactly,
if you're being involved in communities where you can suggest your ideas and also make it happen, then you become more responsible for your community and you become responsible and understand the complexities of being in the role of, like, you know, not to the same extent, but essentially in the role of government, where, you know, we're citizens now that have the power to participate and contribute and move it along. And I think this is actually where mobile, I think, has been really powerful in the last 5 years is, you know, it mostly in terms of social media, it brings people together, but it also helps people understand that they can do things together. I mean, all the major Kickstarter or fundraising programs that allow people to start businesses that they couldn't otherwise do because other people believed in the cause. It's kind of the same mechanism, right?
Yeah, and it kind of aligns. So Tim O'Reilly was the founder of Code for America, which was launched, I think it was 2008. But his ideal, and it's one that we hold close as well, is government as a platform. So, you know, obviously the model at the moment is government has to, you know, raise taxes and then invest those in programs to try and deliver a result. And so they're, in some sense, the solution provider.
Yep.
But if citizens, you know, have the tools, and whether it's data and it's skills as well, but if they have the materials that they need and they're enthused and interested enough in actually creating value, then it's a great solution because it, you know, takes some of the effort away from government and allows them to, you know, concentrate on other.
Mm. So just back onto your earlier point, and I'm probably going to sound like a little bit of a crackpot here, so go with me.
This is your chance. You're on your soapbox. Go for it. Yeah.
But if you think about how a lot of, I guess, the ways that I guess our democracy or the way that our world works, it started off in really small communities, right, where people could talk and people could come up with a way of doing things, an agreed way of doing things. Communities got bigger and bigger and bigger, and trying to have those points of connections got harder and harder and harder. Potentially now we've hit a point where it's actually digital could be a tool that allows those connections to form again
in
different ways. And that to me is really exciting. And you start thinking about how you could then start looking at using the digital medium to try and create those forums and those debates again.
Yep.
That's a really cool and interesting place to be. And I think we're at a point in time now where you've got a lot of technology in place that's going to help us try and do things in interesting ways. Victorian government currently does a bunch of online consultations, very much sort of blogging-based things, but I can see that going further and incorporating other bits and pieces of technology as we go.
I mean, I think it's a really interesting question if you play it a long way forward, because obviously we have this model of representative democracy, right, where, you know, the process of holding an election is quite time-consuming and expensive and a manual process. Digital offers this platform to poll a population. But I think where that ultimately ends up is there's a lot of effort involved in government and accumulating information and making decisions, and there's effort involved in being apprised of the relevant information. So I think where it ultimately ends up is some sort of discussion about where does that kind of that line end of representative versus, you know, direct expression of will and being able to poll and survey. Yeah.
So as a bit of a segue to my next question, have we seen some examples either within your own department or within Victorian government that we think are getting that answer right? Some good initiatives that are digital that we think are doing a fantastic job and that we're proud of?
So I think the one that we just spoke about a little bit earlier, so the PTV one, is a really interesting example. I think that was really showing the power of the digital platform to allow for code design and code development. The one that I'll plug for, and the one that I'm really interested in see where we go, is what we had last night. So Budget Hack, first time that we've done something like that. It'd be really interesting again to see how providing access to this, access or exists, the data is released through Datavic all the time, but having a forum and having an event through which a whole bunch of people can approach that data in a different way and seeing how they end up, what they end up with in terms of creating some interesting ways of using that data is going to be, I think, looking forward to see what happens at the end of that process.
Yeah, and there's a couple of, so these are projects which are close to production but haven't reached production yet, which I'd like to plug that we've been
Tell us the secrets. Yep.
So one of them is a School Finder app, which we've developed in partnership with the New South Wales Department of Education. So it answers that common question of where can I send my kids to school, which is obviously, you know, driven by geography for the most part. But the actual information about, you know, boundaries and things like that haven't been that accessible or transparent in the past. So that's going to resolve that question. One of our fellows, Ezekiel, is working with the Neighbourhood Justice Centre at the moment. So building an application that helps people with court interactions, reminders about their upcoming court date and results and things like that.
Okay. So I think we are basically out of time for this podcast. Dan, Code for Australia, if we want more information, how can we find out more?
The easiest way would be to head to the website, which is codeforaustralia.org.
Do you have a Twitter account?
We do. I think it's at codeforaus.
That makes sense. Jithma, any way to follow you, find out what you're doing, what you're up to?
So we have got a really big program of work coming up over the next 24 months, a lot of work that we want to do collaboratively with the community. We will be doing probably more work with Code and other organisations. We do a lot of stuff with Open Knowledge as well. To find out about the stuff that we're doing, you can on Twitter, it is VicGovAU is our handle. If you're really interested in open data, it's data_Vic where you can find about open data in Victoria. Or you can have a look at the VicGov blog.
Got it. Did that well.
Yeah. And just before we wrap up, I thought I should chime in to say we are recruiting at the moment. So if you're a developer or designer or project manager, head to the website and sign up for the fellowship. That'd be great.
Fantastic. And Luce, how do we find about Outware?
At Outware. So OUTWARE. And obviously check out our website as well. The show notes to this podcast will be on our website shortly afterwards. We're also recruiting. So check out our website for that too. Yeah.
We are too.
Everybody's recruiting.
If you want to jump online. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode soon. Bye.
Bye.